we're doing your Matthew McConaughey.
Yes, hello,
all right.
I know, I just came out of my mouth.
Yeah, you just channeled old Mattia.
Yes, old McConaughey. And what was it? I want to say Fast and the Furious, but it's not that.
No,
it's Dazed and Confused. That's what it is.
Oh, yes.
So hello, everyone. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends, but we know it more as More Life with the Girlfriends with Christine, Marie, and Julie.
Because we're calling it that.
Yeah, why not? Let's
That's
just
how
grab
we roll.
It. Exactly.
We just want more.
And I'm not sure, you know what, that that definition for me and changes. I
Does
want
it?
More. Well, because mostly what I want is to be present more
That's
in
right.
my life.
That's right.
And I want more from it. And sometimes lately that's been kind of, I don't know, like, this is going to sound crazy, but the analogy that comes to me right now is that it's like that more word is, if it's a, it's like that, like a cowboy, and it's kicking dust in my eye. Like, more, you want more of me?
Ah.
Like, here you are, come wrangle me, come get me, you know?
Uh-huh. And the way you say that, though, it sounds kind of seductive.
Seductive. Like
come wrangle me.
Oh, well, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of life is seductive, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I guess.
Yes, the apple on the tree was seductive.
And it's so funny, everyone. Well, hey, we're Christine, Marie, and Julie. We're mother and daughter, law of attraction coaches, and much more, because we really believed during our Sunday night show that we're all about having fun.
Yeah.
And, squeezing out the messages in our stories and talking about the subjects that you guys are all talking about and figuring out, well, how can that pertain to me?
And how to put more into it.
And exactly
and
right.
And that just might mean that we have to get a little more conscientious or have more consciousness.
Or maybe updating our dreams as well.
Exactly.
Or maybe it means
dusting them off.
Yeah, or possibly saying, you know what? I got a lot on my plate now. Can I make what I have on my plate now better?
And if I have a lot on my plate, can I say, how about simplifying it?
Well,
can I take a few things off?
And
clear the clutter.
Well, and as...
Hence our book, The Clutterfly Effect.
Tweak your way to total transformation by decluttering your life.
Mm-hmm.
As well as... What did Matthew McConaughey say this weekend, girlfriend, and Interstellar?
It's not impossible. It's necessary.
Yes, but also, what did he say about you must leave something behind?
Oh, if you want to go forward, you must leave something behind.
That's like that's the clutter, right?
Yes, it is.
Or something that's not, I can't think of her name right now. I know it's right.
Oprah?
Yeah, Oprah. No, she interviewed the one who wrote the book Wild, Paige. And I want to say Paige, and that might not be right. But she does a sugar podcast, and I like that podcast. And
The Dear Sugar?
Dear Sugar. There's her and a man together, and they're very, they put, their tone of their voice would put my dog to sleep. It's that
Don't
kind
say
of.
That.
No, it's a good thing. It's it's so sweet.
Just actually snoring sleep. Okay.
Yeah, I'm wrapped in butter that's wrapped in peanut butter that's wrapped in gooiness of molasses. You know, just like sweet, salty, and I can't move, and I'm tired. I'm going to go to bed. But that's what their voice is. But so what was I talking about?
Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah. No, I can't remember.
Well, you made me hungry when you were talking about peanut butter wrapped in butter, wrapped in caramel. And it's kind of like when we're kind of falling into fall here in the Midwest.
Right.
And it's, cooling off. And it's, for me, it's always like the big thrust of,
right,
carbs. Like,
yeah.
I've been asking Julie for, like, I want pumpkin muffins.
Yes.
I want pumpkin muffins. I want pumpkin bread.
Can I say something real quick, though?
Yeah.
Because now my thought came back, and I want to drop it so I can go on the rest of the show.
All righty.
So we talked about leaving something behind, getting rid of the clutter.
Yes.
And so she took that walk on the Pacific Crest Trail. Hope I'm saying that right. Through California all the way up. It's over 1,000 miles long. It took her 90 days, I think. And anyway, along the way, she brought her books. But to lighten the load. She would, every time she was done with a page, at the end of the night, she'd take her pages that she had done reading, and she would burn them for fire.
Wow.
And
kind of like how a ship drops off the, is it the dross? That's what they call it. You know, the extra weight.
Yes. Whatever you have to do. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, well, this is done. Leave it behind.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because, you know, Oprah was like, oh, my gosh, as someone who loves books as much as I do, I would have felt that to be heartbreaking.
No, she didn't
say
that.
She did say that.
She did not.
Isn't that something like that? And I thought, really?
So Oprah did interview her then.
Yes. Oh, she just loved it. She loved mm-hmm. the book. She loved mm-hmm. interviewing her. And she interviewed her, I believe, on her one of her properties in the middle of the wild.
Mm-hmm.
And I love how in Oprah's interviews, on her Soul to Soul Sunday interviews, everything is so detailed and perfect. Like, for her, the woman who wrote Wild, and she had it on... they had like these stools that were made out of bark, and they had an old round table that looked like it was just cut from a big tree, you know,
mm-hmm.
very wild looking.
Mm-hmm.
Where other people get like wicker and, you know,
yes.
with big cushy comfy, yes. you know, comfy things, mm-hmm. and they have shawls around them.
No.
You know,
she had to do the wild
thing, and I appreciate that about Oprah. So I wanted to drop that
woman
details, and so. So it's interesting how I think there's a couple times a year where we really are kind of reminded about the clutter in our lives. Obviously, springtime, right? Because
right.
spring cleaning, you
right.
know. So
the
we get to open the
windows.
Yes, we get to open the windows, and that kind of takes us to the other kinds of clutter, the behavioral clutter and emotional clutters and stuff and so forth like that. But I think fall, for me, whether it's oh my gosh, I'm 3 to 4 months away from the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh, I know.
Did I do what I wanted to do?
Yeah, you hate, because when we get our iced tea at Mickey D's, you know, we get in our van, and they have a big sign.
Yes.
That they count down the days till Christmas.
Yes.
And the people in cars and even in trucks really can't see it. But because we're in our van, we see it and we see into that. And you're like, what, Mama? No, Mama,
they're starting to talk about Christmas already.
Yeah, exactly.
Counting down to Christmas.
Down
and then
Christmas.
I just add seven more days to the new year, you
right,
know?
Right, right.
And it just goes a little crazy, and you're just like, whoa, what's going on here in the world? You know, what's going on?
But fall really, I mean, fall for me, first of all, I'm so happy that summer's done.
Yes.
Especially when it's hot and humid and, mm-hmm. I don't know. You know, it's the mowing of the lawn. And fall just signifies a little bit more freedom to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, it just, and it goes very quickly from that beautiful freedom and like apples and, like I said, pumpkins and,
right.
and that stuff. And then it goes to like, how do we get ready for winter?
Right.
I mean, we're already talking about that today.
Yeah.
Like, you know, how are we going to, you know, do the salt on the steps and do this and that?
Yeah,
and
do I bring the car in
yeah,
the garage?
Yeah, you know, you sort of like gird yourself against the winter.
Well, and it's interesting because we're supposed to have an El Nino winter this year. Yay! And that typically means a more mild winter
oh,
for
really?
Us in the Midwest.
Oh, really?
Rainy for other people who are having drought, so that might be very beneficial. But what's, you know, they don't know because of the climate change and Alaska becoming warmer as well, that putting the jet stream in. And if you look on the map and you see where we're at, you know, Chicago area,
mm-hmm.
and every place else has been warmer except for us.
Really?
Yeah, we've been colder than normal.
Are you talking about everywhere in the United States?
Well, yeah,
okay.
Yes, and in the United States. And then as well, as they said, in the world, this has been the warmest year ever so far in the world.
Oh, good Lord.
And we have not experienced that whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're not connected with it in some sense,
mm-hmm.
but yet I am so grateful to have rain and the four seasons
mm-hmm.
for the most part.
I really am too. I'm grateful for the four seasons. They were the best band, the best boy band. They were the first boy band.
Were they? Oh, yeah, the Four Seasons.
Big girls.
Baby, baby, baby.
Yeah, that's yeah. And big girls don't cry.
Oh, yep.
Big girls don't cry.
Yes. I want, do you think he still sings like that?
Mm.
Or is he dead? He's not dead. Frankie Valli's not dead.
I don't think he's dead.
No. Do you know what I remember about Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons?
Mm.
I remember coming home from school and going in, turning a TV on, watching ABC's, you know, after school movie,
mm-hmm.
and or even an afternoon movie.
Yeah, the after school movie.
And they would have that as a commercial where, you know, hey, purchase Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons top hits. And you can do it online, or you might they might ask you to join a club, and this will be the bonus. And so he was on TV a lot in commercials, which is it doesn't happen anymore.
No.
I mean, that's just not the industry anymore. But so it was very, very interesting. But I used to love Frankie and the Four Seasons.
I know. I think Dad, I think Normano knew one of the seasons.
Oh.
I don't remember which
right.
one, but thank you. I really do believe that. I think he went to school with one.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds interesting.
Speaking of seasons, though, we went to see the Bison, the Bison this weekend,
yes.
And it was so cute because they were giving rides in big wagons to people
yes.
to go see them, and it was just because we have them all the time, but these people were loaded into these wagons and they were driving to see the Bison, and they had gotten, you tell Julie how they did this. They've gotten something new for our Bison.
Well, it was interesting.
They're
because
going. They dug out underneath the road.
No, did you want me to tell this?
I want you to tell, but I didn't know if I was like catching you off guard.
No,
or
not at all. No, you just. I'm a little waterlogged.
That's
today.
What it sounds like, yeah.
And I don't know if anybody knows what that means exactly, but it feels like I've been in a pool all day long.
Mm-hmm. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. I hope it doesn't sound too bad.
Yeah.
And our poor little Elliot is not doing well, but that's okay.
I can't hear him.
Good. And I'm going to bless him
yes.
and say he's going to be good.
He's a good doggy.
Yeah, he's just looking at me. and crying a little bit, but he's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Someday I will feel content just to open the gate for him and let him run wild.
Yes. Yes.
But not now.
Not now.
Not yet.
not at under a year yet.
No. He gets better and better.
Mm-hmm. And we keep prophesying.
Yes. Less furniture is being eaten.
Mm-hmm.
But once in a while, I'll have, let him run around and done something else, and I'll see him chewing on the recliner, and you're like, oh, for heaven's sake.
Yes. Oh, no. Oh, my gosh.
I know. And they're like, oh, for heaven's sakes. And then they go, I can't blame him. It's all on me. It's all on me. I kind of want to push him a little bit to see, kind of test his new boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
Because certainly I do see much improvement and much growth in his life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's so good with other dogs.
Mm-hmm.
He's having a good time. And tomorrow he gets to go to.
Oh, my gosh, yes. Tomorrow he goes to puppy socialization.
Or puppy daycare. or mommy needs a break.
Well, I love the story, but you want to tell the story of the Bison first?
I do, I do.
How we, we got to puppy socialization.
Yeah. So anyway, literally we have these Bison that are just a half a mile away from us. I mean, at their closest point,
mm-hmm.
maybe a mile. And we've been seeing advertisements around town in the posters saying, hey, Natusa Grasslands, yay, you know, come see the Bison. And we know there's this one back road that you can go, and typically you can see them from this back road. And there are, this is a very beautiful road, and it's surrounded by grasslands.
Mm-hmm.
And there's about five or six homes on this one side of the road. And it's, we've looked into property on that road at one time,
mm-hmm.
and it's been interesting because I'm sure in one hand they love having the Bison right across the street.
Yes.
On the other hand, having these cars just drive and drive and drive.
Yeah.
Probably go, just stop.
I used to have this very nice little cozy street that nobody ever.
Yeah, no one knew about.
Yeah.
And now we were on it, and there must have been 10 cars driving on it. And so,
ooh, 10 cars.
10 cars?
Ooh. If that many.
Yeah.
That was a traffic jam.
Yeah. But if you're from the country, you're like, that's a lot of cars,
yeah,
you know.
Yes.
Because we're used to having complete privacy, except for people who live on that road.
Yes.
But what they've done, so they have the Nutrisa grasslands on one side, and I don't know, I mean, hundreds of acres, beautiful tall grass, beautiful, beautiful land, rolling hills, gorgeous.
Yes.
And on the other side, there is a prairie that was bought by Nutrisa at one time, and it looks like they're getting ready to put, to have the bison be able to travel over there, too.
I know, I'm so excited.
And so the way they did that, which is, I'm sure people have seen this before, when cattle, when farmers have...
That's so cool, though.
They dig out the underneath the road, and they put a big, huge culvert.
Yes,
and
huge
and
culvert.
And the cattle walk under the road to get to other farmland to eat or whatever.
Right.
And so that's what they're doing.
Yes.
And it was so neat looking at.
I know.
And they're not ready yet because the fence isn't up. You can see the posts, but the fence are not up yet.
But that's the what direction they're going.
I know. How awesome would
that be?
And to see that happen, to be like there watching them walk across.
I know.
And like you had told me, you're like, Julie, you know, I loved, quote from Mom. So I'm playing a character right now. I'm playing Christine Marie.
All right.
Okay, go see. No, action. Okay. Oh, Julie, I just love knowing that the bison are going to be walking from one major prairie under the road to another prairie. And how happy are the bison going to be? I go, they're going to be fine.
That's a little dramatic, Julie, but, but darling, maybe I do sound like that. I don't know.
Well, when you choose to say the word bison, how can you not just slip into that character?
That's right.
And you're, here you are traveled back in time. I don't know where.
The bison are premature prehistoric creatures. And they were premature.
They're not premature or prehistoric. Yeah. Well, they might have been. I don't know when. The woolly mammoth are prehistoric, and they're dead.
Okay.
But the bison, I don't know when they, I don't know how long they've, you know,
I don't know
when they started.
But they study them because they have, like, the most amazing immune system, and they have no natural predators. And I don't know. There's something very cool about them. I can't tell you.
And they just eat grass. They're not. If I'm not mistaken, they're not omnivores. They're just
herbivores.
Mm-hmm. If I'm not mistaken, now please.
I believe that.
Yeah, like cows. They're not omnivores. Mm-hmm. They're herbivores. And to think of these huge creatures can. First of all, they must not burn calories very efficiently.
No.
Because <they're,
laughs> they don't need to.
They don't need to. You know, they're not running anywhere.
No.
I mean, I guess, like you said, there were no natural predators except for us.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of messed that up. But we're bringing them back.
Mm-hmm.
We're making amends. We're taking back. We're trying to fix the past and bring those little guys back.
And they've had some babies.
Oh, it's been so awesome.
Yeah.
And so it's been kind of this wonderful time in our life because... In the Midwest, compared to other places that are more temperate, I guess, all year round, I mean, we do have these seasons. Like right now, we're coming into the fall. And so, you know, our local places are pressing apples for apple cider.
I know. We take our puppy Elliot, to the dog park, but it's, like, huge.
Yeah.
And there's the community garden. And even this week, they have a little shack, and once a year they make honey there, and then once a year they press apples to make apple cider.
Yes, and how lovely is that?
I know. And when they had just this long line of people, you know, waiting. This guy's just the tall guy. He's pretty awesome.
He really is.
He's very nice.
And we usually have our garden there at the place, but this year they filled up so fast.
Yeah, we didn't get our garden in.
No, we had it at home, and that was a drag.
It was a big drag. It worked so much better just going to the place.
It really did. And had a place that actually had a spot for us, like, this is your garden.
Yeah.
It's blessed. I'm like, thank you.
So we had some pressed apple cider and gave Normano some. But I just felt like when we were just out there today, I just feel so, I don't know, like, I just feel blessed that we have so much space.
Yeah.
You know, and there's like four dogs there, and like nobody's bothering anybody. You know, it's just,
right.
It's
lovely.
It is. It's almost like Stepford.
Yeah, but Not so plastic.
Not so what?
Plastic. You said yes. Stepford.
Right.
Like Stepford Wives, right?
Right.
I more feel like it's Norman Rockwell.
Okay. Okay.
When I usually think of Stepford Wives, I think of, like, everybody looking really way too plasticky. Like, mm-hmm. everybody's so perfect.
Mm-hmm.
We're perfect in our imperfections, I think.
Yeah. For sure.
That's what I'm saying.
I say you're right. Norman Rockwell is a better analogy.
And I also did something even more old-timier this weekend.
What'd you do?
Well, Doug and I went to the drive-in.
Oh, that's right.
Yep, and it was a throwback night, and it was Dusk Until Dawn of horror films. And they were old horror films, like Nightmare on Elm Street. And A Werewolf in London, the 1981 version, mm-hmm. or 84 version, which I love that version. And then you had The Hills Have Eyes.
Yeah.
And Hotel Hell. Now
I don't know Hotel Hell.
I'm guessing it's about a hotel. And if you check
in. You didn't
in,
stay for the, you don't check out.
You don't check out. I did not stay. I literally, Doug had to go to the football game today, the Bears.
Mm-hmm.
I do not think they won. And he has not texted me. Mm-hmm. He's been incognito today.
Mm-hmm.
He went with his friends. And sometimes he does that. When he goes out with his friends, like, he just completely shuts me out. So I said, texted him one time. And I'm just
oh,
like,
did you?
Yeah, early this morning. Say, hey, have a good time. He left early and didn't hear back from him. That's fine. Mm-hmm. So Bears did not win. I don't know about the Cubs. They were playing at the exact same time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you do know the Bears. Like, when I checked the score, it was like 40 to 20 or something.
Yes, it was horrible.
Yeah.
And Cutler got hurt,
mm-hmm.
which in some ways I'm upset with because he happens to be my backup quarterback mm-hmm. in my fantasy football team.
Mm-hmm.
So I have Tony Romo for my first draft, for my first quarterback pick.
Oh, that's cool.
And I know he played, the Cowboys played after
yes.
the Bears. I have no idea how he did, though. But I like Tony Romo. I like him on those commercials
mm-hmm.
where he's crafty man. Do you remember those commercials?
Mm-mm.
So
no, Tony, I don't, because what I'm thinking of is a skateboarding dude.
No, yes.
Who's that?
Tony...
I don't know.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, though.
Yeah.
And it's just on the tip of my tongue.
Right.
The only skateboarder I know.
Tony. Falcon?
No, it's... Mm-mm. Mm. I will look it up, possibly.
Yeah.
But I want to apologize. I can hear my raspiness.
Yeah.
I don't know what that's coming from.
You do really, it does sound like you are waterlogged.
I drink several glasses of water. I'm just more now afraid to pee.
Mm-hmm.
And so forth. I've had this sensation a long time. Just sometimes the course of the day, I just feel waterlogged.
Okay.
What does that mean? What does that mean?
Double rainbow.
It means that I've fantasized about having a pool, as Esther Hicks would say, mm-hmm. so much that you believe you are swimming in a pool,
mm-hmm.
and now I'm suffering the consequence, which is I'm waterlogged.
Meaning that while you're swimming, you're drinking the water from the pool.
I think waterlogged means, if I'm not mistaken, I always felt it meant that you're swimming so much, but you're never drinking water, so you're dehydrated, yet hydrated at the same time. Because I'm not typically
Whatever.
Drinking pool water.
Okay.
Because I know what goes on in those pools. Trust me, I do know. So I went to the drive-in, Doug and I did, and it was so wonderful because a disc jockey from WGN, Nick DiGiulio, was there. And I believe I saw a glimpse of him, but he kind of was, I'll say the word again, incognito all
mm-hmm.
night long.
Mm-hmm.
And we were in the back.
Well, does he work tonight?
Right? Yes.
On WGN?
At 2 a.m.
You need to call him.
I will call him and give him a piece of my mind.
Tell him you were there and you didn't get a chance to talk to him.
Yeah, I would have liked to have said hi. But it was so sweet. So next to us, right before the show starts, this old Cadillac comes in, convertible, and there's four people in it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's
Are
like,
they older?
No. They're probably like in their late mid-20s, late
mm-hmm.
20s.
Oh, cool.
Just enjoying it, right?
Right.
And it comes in this growling kind of vehicle, and
mm-hmm.
they pull up next to us. And I'm like, well, this is kind of cool, you know.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool. And here we are in the Passat with the windows rolled down
mm-hmm.
and the sunroof open. And it was a beautiful night. It was a really nice
beautiful.
Old-timey night.
Yes, it was.
You know? And then we didn't get to listen to it on those little boxes. Remember those boxes?
Yes, they didn't. You got the radio. Right?
Radio.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And on the new cars, like Doug's car, it would just automatically shut off every 20 minutes because they're thinking, you can't possibly want the radio without the car on for more than 20 minutes. Like, you're right, Passat. You know more than we do.
Yeah, you're thinking for us now.
Yes, thank you. Well, you know, so we talked about the old-timey life.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure I brought this up yet, but, you know me, my podcast, which is new stuff, right?
You're the podcast queen, girlfriend.
I do love my podcast.
Yeah, and I love the fact that you love them because I learn so much from you.
Oh, thank you.
Talking about you know, you like Adam Carolla, you like Dr. Drew.
Well, it was so funny because Dr. Drew was talking about to somebody who had hepatitis C on his show, and he's like, "There's a cure for this now.
Yeah,
you know, why don't you get it?" And I wanted to say, did you not listen to NPR where they did the whole study about how if everybody who had hepatitis C got the cure, it would cost like $20 billion and it would totally bankrupt the system?
Really?
Yes. So there may be a cure out there, but unless you want to pay for it yourself.
But it ain't worth it.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Well, I thought it was very interesting that it's like the cure is right there. And they're dishing it out to people who are starting to have first complications. So the longer you have hepatitis C, the more you have a chance for some of your organs to have complications, liver damage, and so forth.
How do you get hepatitis C?
I think
when I was a kid, it was like using like old razors or something like that.
Well, it's a bloodborne. No, okay. I don't think you can get it from just using old razors if they're yours. Like, I don't think you can get your... Mm-hmm. I think it's...
So is it just some drug use, then? Like, people sharing needles?
So, like, razor,
when you see
somebody else's
commercials
razor, like blood,
on TV and these, you know, nice-looking people, they were all former drug users?
No. Well, and I don't know if that's not true either. I'm going to Google that for sure. I mean, I'm assuming I don't have hepatitis C, but I guess I could not know exactly if I do or don't.
I would know.
I mean, until I started having the consequences.
Because I can just remember when I was a kid, like they'd say, like, don't use anybody's razor because you can get hepatitis.
Oh, that's true. That part is true.
They never said hepatitis C.
Just hepatitis.
Yeah.
But that's different than saying using old razors.
Mm-hmm.
Because I use my, I don't know if I'll pull out an old razor,
mm-hmm.
but it's my razor.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm going to say, how do I get...
Dear Google, how do I get hepatitis C?
Well, is Hep C contagious? Let's find out. You know what? I don't even have to remember anything anymore. I could just someday Google will be able to plug in a chip into my brain,
mm-hmm.
and then I will be able to access it.
Mm-hmm.
But I will really be frustrated because what will happen is
will it make you money?
Yes, exactly. But the first 5 or 6 answers will be ads. And I'll be like, which one do I pick? Which one do I pick? Which one will tell me the truth?
And nobody.
Nobody.
You can't handle the truth. You're all marketers.
Okay.
Marketing.
So it is spread through blood-to-blood contact with an infected person.
Okay.
It's a serious, lasting disease that can result in severe liver damage.
Mm-hmm.
Long-term health problems, and even death.
Wow. So blood.
Oh, yeah. It says,
like when you were a kid, you go, let's be blood brothers.
That would be bad if
that
we had hepatitis
bad.
C.
Okay.
So chronic hep C affects over 3 million people
mm-hmm.
in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And most of them are baby boomers.
What?
You know why?
Because
you guys did a lot of those
blood brother things.
You did.
We did.
You were all into sharing each other's
Everybody
blood.
Everybody was cutting their hands and
spitting on it and here, shake my hand.
Yeah. Now,
that's the kind of weird, though, don't you think?
Yeah.
That's kind of weird.
Wow. And it says most of them are baby boomers.
Yeah. And 30% of people with hep C are unaware that their liver... The livers are being slowly damaged. It's a silent disease.
Is that because they don't know they have it?
Yep.
Good Lord.
For even decades, they might not know.
Well, see, I always thought that your eyes turned yellow.
Now that's, oh, okay, yes.
Or your skin.
That's, isn't that
jaundice?
Jaundice.
No, but your eyes turn yellow.
That's jaundice.
Is it jaundice?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
A liver issue.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. I'm not that far off, girlfriend.
No. So basically, the number of Americans who are dying from Hep C-related conditions is increasing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a leading cause of liver cancer and number one cause of liver transplants, not alcoholism, which I think is very interesting.
Mm. Wow.
Yep. And, you know, in the last few years, there have been scientific advances in the cure for this.
Mm-hmm.
Good for them. Awesome.
Yeah. I wonder who the person was that discovered the cure for hepatitis.
And it says you are considered to be cured when the virus cannot be detected in your bloodstream for 3 months after treatment is completed.
Mm-hmm. Just 3 months.
Yeah.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah. So, and that, like I said, what I heard was that treatment, mm-hmm. this new treatment that came out, can cure hepatitis C.
Mm-hmm.
99% to 96%. 99%, yes. But what happens is that
it's so expensive.
Yeah. So the insurance company's like, we literally cannot afford to pay for everybody's treatment right now.
Mm-hmm.
And you can pay for it yourself, but it's like $60,000 or something
mm-hmm.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know why it has to be that much.
Mm-hmm.
I know it probably took $1 billion to create this drug, so they tell everybody. When the drug companies say, it takes $1 billion for a drug to go from conception to on the market.
Yeah,
you know?
But if 3 million people have it.
Just in the U.S.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, that could, that, you know, even if they just paid
$1,000.
$1,000, yeah.
And I think it's more like thousands of dollars.
Yes. But still, they could, what I'm saying is they could get their money back really
I would
fast.
Think so.
Yeah.
But maybe they'd go, hey, we've had a lot of downer drugs lately that didn't, you know, produce the money we wanted to produce.
Mm-hmm.
So this has to take care of all of our, it's sort of like a stock market, you know. When you get a stock that's doing really well, it helps all the ones that have done poorly. So this hepatitis C pill must take care of them for a while. So I guess, I don't know. All I know is big business, but
right.
I do know that.
Big pharma.
Big pharma.
That's what everybody calls it, big pharma.
Exactly. With a PH, not an FA.
Right.
Because the bison live on a big farm.
No.
Not that kind of farm.
The bison on a pharma.
Exactly. So I want to talk a little bit tonight about Interstellar, because I know you really like that movie.
I did like that movie.
Sorry.
Three hours long.
Yeah. But I also want you to share a story that Dad told you, and I'll kind of set you up a little bit.
Okay.
It's a very interesting story. It's kind of like a dadism in some sense, but not
it's
really.
A what?
A dadism.
Oh, okay.
But it's not. But it's an interesting story from his past. And so I have been telling you about how I listen to two of my podcasts I listen to off and on. One is Dan Savage.
Right.
I listen to him, and I'm not joking, Savage Love, because I feel like I'm getting a glimpse to a life I have no idea what the hell it's about. You know? And
one that you can only dream about.
What, that even, yes, I guess. That's not even the right phrase.
Right.
Just like, really?
Yeah.
Really?
Right.
Really?
I know.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, this is what we have to worry about.
You tell me, like, you said, what was the word that you told me this week?
I don't want to repeat it.
Oh, you know it then?
The ball thing?
Yes.
Yeah. The end of the ball or whatever.
Yes.
Yeah.
You were telling me about that.
And you're like, and I said, I just don't get it. I don't get it. I don't get it. And I'm not a prude. I really am not. I just don't get it. And I got to be okay, too, right? In this world where we're allowed to have our kink celebrated, and I don't have a problem with that. I just don't want to feel bad if I don't have a kink. Like, I'm just kind of like,
don't have an enema ball.
I don't want to feel bad for it. Or like my cousin who, you know, who says, oh, everybody's just jealous because they don't have a poly relationship. You know? I'm like, really? I really am not jealous. I promise you that's not my problem.
I cannot keep one person happy.
Yeah, I go, really?
Oh, like just what, just having, two people nag at me? Oh, my God.
Or, I mean, I was talking to Doug about this the other day, or not about this exact subject, but in my mind, I'm like, okay, you know, you get a life insurance policy. Do you have two people on the policy? Are you committing to two people that you'll take care of them in their old age?
Mm-hmm.
Or what about medical advice or medical decisions? What if I'm in a coma? Do they both have to agree? What if I'm fighting with one and mm-hmm. I really could care less about the other? You know,
mm-hmm.
all these things come up that just sound like, oh, this is just too much work.
It's just too much.
It's just too much yeah. work. And for my, just so everybody knows, this is kind of public knowledge, that if mom and dad are allowed to make medical decisions for me, if I am unable to, not Doug. Just to make sure everybody
Thank you,
knows.
Jules. Thank you. Because I know which way that guy rolls.
Yes.
Oh, man.
He wouldn't give me a fighting chance, man.
No.
He's like, oh, wait, what? What?
Put her down.
Yeah, I know her. She doesn't want to live like that. I'm like, wait a minute. I'm just in a coma for a day. I could come. I could wake up. Give me a chance here. Give me a fighting chance. Yeah.
I'll give you a chance, girlfriend.
Thank you. I don't need a lot of a chance.
Mm-mm.
I don't want that. A little bit of a chance would be
mm-hmm.
nice.
Mm-hmm. I hear you.
You know, I just
I'm
know her Doug.
Notes.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I love Doug, but I just know how he flies in this. It's like, you know, out for a day, you're gone. Just let nature take its course.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I think he'd help it along.
He could be.
Yeah, definitely.
This is too much of a bother.
Yeah. This is too much responsibility for me.
I can handle it. Like, Doug, I got that taken care of. You don't have to do it. And then if mom and dad don't want to, Gregory will take care of me. He knows my wishes, which is give me a little bit of a chance. Fighting chance.
That's
all right.
Right.
And we'll see. And so anyway, so talk about Dan Savage, you know,
mm-hmm.
Savage Love. And then I'll listen to Classic Love Line with Dr. Drew and Adam Carolla. And they're a very interesting bunch because someone will come up and they'll talk about, you know, their boyfriend or their girlfriend or whatever. And
mm-hmm.
and then something where Dan Savage will say, we'll take it at face value as this is just who you are. No judgment, nothing,
mm-hmm.
you know, nothing wrong with you.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll go, okay, so why are you setting yourself up for this? You know, what happened in your childhood
mm-hmm.
that you need to behave this way to get love
mm-hmm.
or accept that kind of behavior from your partner?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they're like, what happened?
they, as opposed to Dan Savage, just takes the situation as it is.
With no judgment.
Dr. Drew and Adam say, something happened in your childhood. Let's take a bet on this.
Yeah, let's take a bet. They will bet on
you're
it.
You're on the pole. You were definitely, your father was absent
yes.
or whatever.
Or like, I really like this, this, and this, and this. And then they'll go, okay, you really do. Okay, let's take a bet here.
Mm-hmm.
Absentee father or,
right.
you know,
right.
all this stuff.
You were molested as a child.
And sometimes they're kind of right on.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're not, but sometimes
yeah.
they're right on.
Well, no, I mean, that's absolutely true. You know, you are a product of, you know, it is nature, nurture, you know.
Exactly.
And I, you know, as a therapist, I've heard many stories, you know, the things that have happened in your past, for, you know, in your childhood.
Right.
And how it makes, remember the old thing like, you know, the two twins, oh, I'm
yeah.
a drinker and the other one doesn't. And the,
well, it goes, I drink because my father used to drink.
Uh-huh.
And
the
and
other one goes, I don't drink
because my
father
used to drink. The father's dead, by the way, because he had cirrhosis of the liver.
Right. Yeah. He had hepatitis C.
Yes. Yeah. he got in a bar fight.
I was telling Norm this, though.
Yeah.
You know, about the Dr. Drew thing.
Oh, yes.
And he said, he was telling me, he said, well, and I said, well, you know, were you ever screwed up? Or I was just kind of joking with him. He said, well, when I was like 5 or 6 or maybe even a little older, I don't know. He said, my mom went to a yard sale or whatever and brought home a doll for me.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I was like, he said, I was so angry and agitated. I hated that doll.
Can I say something about
yeah.
this story, though?
Yeah.
This is not the first time. I don't know this exact story. But I have heard you tell me that Norm was supposed to be, you know,
A girl. Yes.
Because she had two boys already, and
right.
boy, did she want a girl.
And she wanted Norma Jean.
Norma Jean instead of Norman Eugene.
Right.
Yes.
Exactly.
Now, I don't know if, and then you told me that it was named after Norma Jean.
Marilyn Monroe. Norma Jean
and
Baker.
And then I had asked my aunt, and she said, that is not true. But it makes perfect sense to me.
Yes, exactly. How does the aunt know? I don't know.
I don't think Marilyn Monroe is doing anything at that time of Dad's birth. I could be wrong, though.
Norma Jean.
Norma Jean. Yeah, she might have been alive. I don't know.
I think you're right,
honey. But I don't know. But that was one of those stories that I had to relearn. Cause I had.
But wasn't your youth so cool, though, that you, you know, had these stories like Jimmy Dean, no, not Jimmy Dean, James Dean.
Yes.
His leather jacket.
That wasn't true either?
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, thank God.
That's true.
Oh, God, my, I really, I mean, take and break down my childhood, why don't you, for heaven's sake. What's the Warren Beatty story?
That's true.
Really?
Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
Yeah, that's an absolute true
okay.
story.
Okay.
You were there, too.
I know. Was I there? Yes, I was. So he's a little baby. So anyway.
So the story that Norm was telling me is about his mom getting him this doll, you know.
Yes.
And he didn't want to hurt her feelings, but he was like, he was crushed on the inside. He goes, what, you know, what do you give me a doll for, you know? And he's got two older brothers. And somehow, you know, we're talking about small town here, and mm-hmm. like small town.
A couple thousand people live in this town.
Then narked on him, you know, and said, "Oh my God, Norman's got a doll," you know, and kind of went like wildfire, like you know the show Impastor, which
yes.
I love. You know, it's a very very small town, and Dora went to the pharmacy and bought Imodium, and. And she said that for 2 months afterwards, people called her Dora-ria. And so it does, you know, that is like a small town. So the brothers went and narked on him. And he kind of became like this, you know, kind of ostracized.
He was bullied.
Yeah, he was bullied. And, oh, you play with dolls and all that stuff. And so he was kind of ostracized. And he said, he told me that the only kids were the Crabtree kids. They were like, they lived you know, they were very, very rural, and they were, you know, they still wanted to play with him and stuff. And he said that one time they were walking the railroad tracks, you know, and they came across this pile of, like, just debris and stuff. And in the pile, they were kind of going through stuff. They found a mannequin, a naked mannequin. And it was like the boys were like, whoa, you know, like if she was anatomically very, very correct, you know.
Probably not below, but just above.
Probably.
Like a Barbie.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, because
she was a full-grown mannequin, though.
Okay, yes. Okay, get that. I get the visual.
Yeah, but they didn't, in like in the 50s, I don't know if they knew the name was mannequin. They called her a doll.
Oh, interesting.
And so Norm was like still sort of
traumatized,
yeah, from this. And but he was like, wahooga, he really like loved this doll. And but he was like, I can't pretend I really love this doll because they already call me a doll lover, you know, whatever. And so the boys, the Crabtree brothers, took the mannequin and they went into kind of deep into the woods and stuff and they hid it so they could go and just go visit the mannequin whenever they wanted to. You know?
I wonder if that mannequin ever got dressed. I wonder if they put clothes on it.
I don't know. I don't know, but I kind of got the impression that these boys really loved this mannequin. I said, did it have a big O-shaped mouth? You know, he goes, no, it's just a real mannequin, not a blow-up. Yeah. And he said, but he said he had the hardest time because he really wanted to, you know, mess with the mannequin too.
Yeah,
you know?
Whatever that meant for a six-year-old, but okay.
But damn it, after coming from this, you know, being ostracized for his mom giving him a doll, he wasn't, you know, he had that sort of, it was crushing for him, you know. Should I do it? Should I stay or should I go?
Yeah.
Should I do it? And then he said, after he told me that story, he goes, and do you think that messed me up? And, you know, I go, I don't know. I don't know if it messed you up.
I don't think so.
I don't think so. I think you're a pretty good guy.
I guess, you know, do things mess you up, or are they just part of your
Yeah, it comes part
recipe.
Of your quilt of your life, you know.
Right, exactly. And sometimes they mess you up because you hold on to it and
mm-hmm.
makes you...
I think like this, like when I was five, my grandpa took me to a tavern. He promptly... got drunk and fell asleep. And I was, you know, as a little kid, molested in that bar. So when I went and told my parents, you know, they, like, got really mad. They got mad at me. They got mad at my grandpa. And I'm like, see, I wasn't so screwed up by that as I was by my parents.
Their reaction.
Yeah. I still remember that to this day.
Yeah.
I don't remember being molested.
Yeah, like, oh, like,
you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I totally do.
Yeah. It's
like the molester, like, I got over that. I didn't get over the fact that my parents were so pissed at me. Yeah.
And they didn't talk to my grandpa, and it was a big thing, and it was just like, what? You know, say what? So, you know, I don't know. You got to know when to hold them, know when to
It was kind of funny. You were kind of, you were talking to your mom's mom and aunt, and she was
My mom's sister.
Oh, sister, yeah. And she had talked about how, like, oh, your grandpa just loved you so, so much. And I think he said, yeah, until he got drunk at the bar and left me there to get molested.
I didn't say that, did I?
No, maybe you didn't.
Oh, God, I hope I didn't.
Because you're like, I don't want her to know that.
But my grandpa really did love me, but he was a drinker.
Me.
He drank too much.
Well, see, I think in a fullness of life, kids know that too.
Yeah.
And, okay, not to be light on child molesters, but you always talked about it with us when Greg and I were growing up.
Right.
Because of your past.
Yes.
But we also know that they come around.
Right.
And I remember being at a movie theater with Greg on those, because back in the day, you would just drop Greg and I off. Like, yeah, here's a double feature.
Back in the day, you could do that.
You could do that.
Nobody would let you do that anymore, I don't think.
And then I think I was 12, he was 11.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Star Wars, I think old Star, who knows what it was. But, and we'd call you afterwards from a payphone to pick us up.
Can you believe it?
No, I can't believe it.
It's like a recipe for disaster.
Well, it's a recipe now for DCFS to get called.
Yeah, DCFS. Hello.
Is your 11-year-old daughter with your 10-year-old son? They're fine. Trust me. But I specifically remember this guy behind us just being completely inappropriate.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, I got to do something about this now, or mm-hmm. it's going to get out of control.
Stranger danger.
Yeah. So I just, like, took my brother, and I moved to a different part of the theater that was really crowded, because I'm like, okay, this guy's going to, if he's going to make a move, he's going to do it in front of all these people.
Right. Good one.
Yeah. Dude. Before, I was just alone with my brother eating our snuck-in candy bar, you know, because mom gives us that money for the tickets, but not enough money for candy and popcorn.
Well, not theater candy. Are you kidding me?
Exactly.
Dollar General candy.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, we had to sit away from everybody while we were eating our snuck-in candy. But that was a little vulnerable for the weirdo.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Don't sit near anybody because you got the cheap candy.
Yeah.
Okay, mama.
Okay.
Then there's the predator.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, and this is, you know, and it's, we're laughing now, but I remember specifically that I'm like going, this is what my mom and dad told me about guys like this.
You got it.
And so, like, I got my brother's hand, I picked him up, I said, you're coming with me, little guy.
Yeah.
And we just sat, you know, literally the front row behind other people, lots of people around us, mm-hmm. and they're probably going, why are these two kids sitting next to us? You know, and that guy did follow us over there.
Did he really?
Yeah, but he tried a couple to be, more like perverted talk. You know, like
mm-hmm.
you know, just mm-hmm. weird stuff.
Oh, geez.
I know, and I think some guy were like, "What are you doing?" You know,
mm-hmm.
and I remember waiting for you, which seemed like for hours after the movie. Exactly. This is your alone time with Dad.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting because you're making me remember that my mom sent me and my brother to the show shortly after that incident in the tavern, you know?
Oh, yeah, okay.
And and there's the guy sitting in front of us, and it was that guy, and he had put his hand over the seat in the back, and I knew him because of this ring that he had.
Right.
So he had somehow, like, followed us or was somehow
just by quit, who knows, like, it's a small town,
got to the, yeah, but you know, in the theater, and I can remember my dad was supposed to meet us there, and when he finally came, I think I ran to my dad and I go, it's the same guy that, you know, blah blah blah, And this guy starts running down the aisle in the theater. My dad's running after him, and he crosses the front of the by the screen and goes out the exit door, and you know, never caught him or anything. But just reminded me of that when you were telling about your Stranger Danger theater.
Yeah.
Thing.
You know what? It's been going on. It's been going on a long time, hasn't it?
It's a wonder. You know, more people aren't screwed up. Come on.
Maybe we all are. But we, you know, I think, I don't know. I know that I don't feel like I was screwed up by that incident or a couple other things that, you know, you could tell got came close, you know, or whatever. It's just like, this is an odd experience.
Because
then you go, I luckily had enough of the self to get my ass out of there.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Stop it or whatever.
Right.
And sometimes, though, I mean, I'm sure nothing would have happened either. I just got uncomfortable in situations and just walked away.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
But I always feel so sad when people talk about, you know, being molested over years by the same person.
Oh, I know.
Family member, just like
crushing. Yeah, I mean, to have a family member over and over and over again for, many, many years, has to totally
Because different when you have, because, I mean, for me, that would have been different because, it just, you know, strangers, you're just like, I'm not connected to them emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you're a bad guy. I don't know any more about you.
Yes.
But you're a bad guy.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's a little depressing.
No, it's not. It's just, it's a slice of life.
Isn't it, though? It really
is.
A slice of life.
You know, just kind of, you hope that it doesn't, I mean, you know, lead us not into temptation.
Right.
You know, you know, movie theaters, you know, bars or taverns for little kids. I mean, these are, now you can't do that.
No, now you cannot bring a kid into a bar.
Yeah. I mean, you can't.
No, you really can't.
Yeah.
And these I think it's against policy.
These are like taverns, like little, like shotgun, like, you know, maybe 12 feet wide with a big bar. And
the same people go there every day, day in and day out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, listen, I remember being 11, and walking into a bar because we were trying to, this is embarrassing to even say. As I'm saying these words, it was the early 80s or something, I don't know. Because I think it was the time you had drivers for you in your semis.
Okay.
And we were looking for a driver for
And
we had to go find him in the bar.
Yeah, that's right. We were looking through all the bars.
For like, where's our driver at?
Yeah.
And we went to the bar, and he was there.
Yes.
And nowadays, we'd be like, get fired. But, I mean, it's just ridiculous how it's good how things have changed and improved.
Yeah, things have improved.
Thank God.
They're
but
better.
I remember going in there looking for him, and I, you know, he ordered me a Shirley Temple. I said, come on here, really, sit down, little girl. And I'll order you a Shirley Temple. I'm like, all right, awesome.
You were so, you're like,
worldly.
So mesmerized. Oh, my God, I'm in a bar.
In a bar, drinking Shirley Temple. It's crazy times.
Girlfriend, you had a good life. Come on.
I'm having a good life
That's
as well.
Right.
You know,
but you had lots of, you know, you had lots of experiences back then.
Yes,
that you just can't have anymore.
You
got the helmet experiences. Now everything is like indoor helmets, outdoor helmets. I mean, you got some interesting stories to tell.
Yes, and you know, I think about our little niece, my nieces, and your granddaughters, and I think about the stories that they're going to tell, and it'll be completely different. but wild in their own ways, right?
Yeah. Well, we did this in Disneyland. We did this in Disney World.
Yeah. I remember when Mom got in trouble. Mom yelled at me for inviting everybody back to the hotel room, just yelling out the hotel room number.
That's right. That was great.
That's great. Well, anyway, it's been a great, fun show.
It has been great.
And it's a great, go to our website, Butterfly Effect, or ChristineRainsley.com. And Mama, how was the show tonight?
You know what it was? It was great. I love you.
I love you too. It was great.